Okay, Longshot Ken here for non-productive.com. I am super stoked tonight. I think I'm fanboying out because I actually now have the honor of having one of the greatest writers of my generation here with me today. I have the great R.A. Salvatore. Bob, how are you today, dude?
I'm exhausted, man. We did our e-signing today for Timeless, and I've been signing books since 10 this morning. I just stopped.
Oh, no. Well, then thank you so much, then, because that had to be an excruciating day.
No, thank you. I got another 400 to do, and I was able to say, leave, come back tomorrow.
Well, that is the reason why I wanted to talk to you today. Timeless is coming out. Actually, it's here now. Tell us a little bit about Timeless.
Well, I mean, it's there were three things I needed to accomplish when I found out that I could go back to the Dark Elf. After Wizards stopped doing books, I thought we were done with Hero. But when we got the license to go back and do them, I figured there's three things I need to accomplish in this book. The first is I need to tell the story post-Hero. So half the book tells the story post-Hero with Dritz and the events that I'm not going to give anything away. I'm not going to spoil anything. People are still catching up. But a really big thing happened at the end of Hero, and people had to see where it went from there. So that's half the book. The other half of the book is the beginning of a story I've been wanting to tell for more than a decade, but haven't been able to because Wizards of the Coast were pushing forward. You know, they've got to keep pushing the world forward because there's so many like computer game companies or other companies licensing products. They want everyone to be on the same page. So really, they couldn't let me go back and tell the story of how Jarl Axel and Zach Nefane became friends way back in the past, long before Dritz was born. So I wanted to do that. And then the third thing I wanted to do was for new readers to be able to see Menzo Berenzin for the first time in the way people did with Homeland way back in, you know, the early 1990 or whatever. And so I wanted to give new readers that same feeling, and I wanted the old readers, when they read the Dritz book, to feel like they're kids again playing D&D, because that's what I always go for with these books.
That is awesome.
I want
you
to feel like you felt when you read your first Dritz book.
That is great. And actually, it's really great that you bring that up, because I have super fond memories of reading Homeland back in the day. And to this day, I still put it up on the higher echelon of some of the greatest literature ever put out.
Thank you. It was kind of a fun experience writing that book. I just kind of went away to this weird place, and these people were telling me about it. It was quite the experience. But thank you. It was very kind of you.
Well, let me ask you, why do you think that Dritz has endured for as long as he has, and what keeps you going back to him?
Well, I like writing the characters, not just him, but the people, the good guys and bad guys around him. So I always said, as long as people want to read it, and I'm having fun writing it, why shouldn't I write it? Because I still get to do all the other things I want to do creatively in books like Child of a Mad God, which came out earlier this year, my Demon Wars books. So it's not like I don't have time to do other things I want to do. But I think what made him stick with people is his unbending desire to do what's right, even when he's wrong about what's right.
Yeah,
he wants to try. He's a hero because of his heart, not his sword. I don't think you see a lot of that anymore. We're all so jaded and gray, you know? So I think having a hero who's not, and he's not a boring hero. He's a complicated hero who makes mistakes. And he's also that classic misunderstood outcast. And you remember when I started writing Dritz, the fantasy genre mostly catered to high schoolers. You know, I remember when Wizards of the Coast asked me to write a young adult Dritz book, and I said, all of the Dritz books are young adult. They are. And so at the same time that, you know, when I started writing, that was the vast majority of the audience for teenage boys. And who doesn't feel like they're misunderstood in high school, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of classic literature out there that handles stuff like that, even when you go back to comics with, like, the X-Men.
Exactly. So I think Dritz is the classic misunderstood romantic hero outcast, and he tries to do the right thing. And he has a very definitive code of ethics that he tries to live by. And he's a badass. People like that too.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, all these things, and I really, you know, maybe it was the timing. Maybe the world was ready for a dark elf. They were in the game as monsters. Maybe a lot of people wanted to see them as more than that. I don't know. I mean, if I knew, I would, instead of writing books, I'd just write a how to write a character that people will fall in love with and make more money. It's just, you know, you see what I mean? It's I don't know. There's always this kind of magic ingredient that goes into anything, that's whether it's timing or just dumb luck or whatever. For some reason, the character resonated with a lot of people at that time in their lives. And, you know, when I was writing The Halfling's Gem, which was the third book, TSR actually said to me, tie everything up because we're going to go on to different characters. People are tired of this character. That was 1988 when I was writing that, 89.
Wow.
And the readers just wanted to keep reading. They wanted this story. I had no idea that we were, you know, when I wrote that first book in 1987, The Crystal Shard, I was just happy to get a book published. I was working as a financial analyst, and wow, I got a book published. This is really cool. I had no idea that 31 years later, I'd still be writing about the guy.
Now, do you find that to be a blessing or a curse?
It's a blessing. I mean, I always say it's a blessing and a curse, but it's a blessing. I mean, who are you kidding? I get to watch my kids grow up because I work at home and make my own hours. It's like, pinch me. You know, no, don't pinch me, because then I'll wake up and the devil's come calling for his due, because I must have made a deal with him. Well, so it's a blessing. Well, and you know what? Actually, for a while then, when I was feeling very resentful of Drift, because there were so many, like, I think my Demon Wars books are as good as anything I've ever done.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I love my Demon Wars books.
Absolutely.
I just adore them. But, you know, ask any author who's got a popular series how his non-series books compare in reader response and sales. And it's ridiculous, the differentiation. So I was a little resentful that, you know, I can write a Dritz book and, you know, there's all this excitement around it. We're selling so many copies and everybody's happy. And then I bust my butt to do this Demon Wars world and create this magic system and all the rest of it. And it does okay, but not like Dritz.
Yeah.
And the people realized, I really liked it, but, you know, I really missed Drift. And so I got resentful. And then I was watching, remember the old Behind the Music that they used to do?
Oh, yeah, VH1, yeah.
On, the VH1 Behind the Music. Well, I was watching one with John Fogerty.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about how for years he wouldn't play CCR songs when he was on tour because of the bitter breakup he had when the band were getting screwed by the manager or whatever. There was this bitter breakup. And then he realized that it wasn't about him. It was about the people that had come to see him. They wanted to hear those CCR tunes. So he started playing them. And that's when I realized, yeah, I mean, if people want to read this guy, then what's your problem? You should be happy. And it kind of changed my whole perspective on things.
You know,
so it's a blessing.
Now, you are one of the big factors for essentially the creation of how the Underdark works within Forgotten Realms. How was it for you as a guy that put so much time and effort into creating something? And at points, you know, Wizards would come in and actually have other writers also tackle some of your characters and the environment. How do you feel about someone else kind of touching your baby?
Well, I mean, they're very respectful about it. Wizards has always been very respectful about it. When Elaine Cunningham came in and wrote Starlight Shadows, we were talking all the time. It's a shared world. You signed the contract, it's a shared world. The one line that was crossed was when we sat in the realms, we had pretty strong verbal agreements and agreements with each other that, like, I'm not going to go write an Elminster book, and Ed's not going to go write a Dritz book. You know, you have your main characters. And that line got crossed once. I don't even want to talk about it, but it's
okay.
Generally speaking, it's always been respectful, and it's always been, you know, kind of the agreement on how we work. As far as, like, the game designers coming in, I mean, the new Intrigue, the Waterdeep thing is coming out same day, the game. Jarl Axel's on the cover. Well, of course he is. That's awesome for me. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I was playing Baldur's Gate when I went down to this forest, and there's this dark elf with twin scimitars killing gnolls, and he says, "Help me kill these gnolls." And I'm like, "Well, this guy looks familiar." And it was Dritz.
Nice.
And the only thing I was mad about was that he wouldn't give me his stuff, because I knew he had good stuff because I had given it to him. And so I tried to kill him, and he wiped out my whole party, a friggin' munchkin. And I actually got a fan letter. A friend, a guy I had met up in Canada at a convention, wrote me a letter, and he said, "Bob, I feel really bad. I feel really bad. Please forgive me. I killed Dritz in Baldur's Gate. I said I'll forgive you if you tell me how." And he told me how, and I killed him repeatedly to outfit my characters.
So I'm guessing it actually felt a little cathartic.
Oh, sure.
Well, we had brought up, again, the character is just so iconic at this point. I mean, we have the novels, there's been comics, there's been games, video games. Is there any chance, or has there ever been talk of the possibility of a movie or TV series?
Pretty much every other week since 1992. yeah, there's always talk, there's always rumors, there's always whispers. You know, I keep getting letters from people saying, "I just heard that so-and-so is playing Dritz." So, okay, I don't know anything about it, but sure. It's gotten close a couple of times from what I understand. See, I don't own it. I don't own it. I mean, Hasbro owns Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the Coast owns TSR, the properties, Dungeons & Dragons, Forgotten Realms, all of that. Will it happen? I think it will. I think it would make a heck of a TV show, for one thing.
Yeah.
And you could get a lot of seasons out of those books. One thing is, in more recent years, one of the problems became the drow themselves, because of all the, you know, the cultural and racial sensitivity that we're rightly finally waking up to. And, you know, to me, they're elves, so it never really mattered. But to some people, it matters. But then Black Panther comes out, and I think that showed you how to do Homeland right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I mean, could you imagine Chadwick Boseman playing Dritz?
That would be pretty Dritz awesome.
Then Dritz and Guinevere would be one, right?
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, so I think it's going to happen. I would love to see it. But again, it's not my call. I when I was working with George Lucas, don't you think I wanted to drop a copy of Homeland on his desk? But I can't do it.
Well, you brought up George Lucas, and I know that there's still a huge fallout from a certain book that you wrote some time back, Vector Prime.
Yeah. I don't think it's that big anymore, because Chewie's now a Disney princess, so I'm off the hook, right?
Actually, at this point,
gravestone will not say he killed Chewie the bastard, because Chewie's back. So
I would have thought Lumpy would be more of the princess than Chewie, but you know. But anyway, no, I mean, but what was it as a writer? That book comes out. I mean, you had to know that in doing something like this, that there was going to be a huge outcry, right?
I did. I had no idea how profound and deep it was going to go. I knew there were going to be upset people, but I had no idea it was going to be like that. I really didn't.
Full extent. I mean, we're not talking like hate mail, or I mean, like, you know, death threats or anything, were we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the death threats, I did get a couple of, you know, but they were more like, "I'm going to kick your ass, I'm going to kill you." But nothing that, there was one that was, we had to take seriously. I mean, it wasn't anything like Kelly Tran's going through now, for example.
Right.
There were moments. It was pretty rough. Doubly rough for me, because that was the darkest moment in my life.
Right.
Because of real life. I had lost my brother. Oh, I had to cancel my book tour for Vector Prime because I was taking care of my brother in his last days.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I'm getting hate mail about a fictional character in the book. So it was very surreal. I mean, I didn't even want to do it. I didn't even want to do the deed. I had already signed the contract, and before I even found out I had to do that.
I'll ask you, because I know that you started off early on as a bouncer, correct?
Yeah, I paid my way through college.
Well, I'm just going to say, I mean, you know, with that in hand, I mean, I'm sure you could have beat up half of the nerds that was wind up, you know, threatening you.
I have no intention of ever hitting another human being.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
And besides, they have lightsabers and stuff. I ain't messing with that. No. Yeah, no, I'm not easily scared. I just kind of shrug, but I'm also like 60, so I break easy. I think the toughest part about that was knowing that I had written something that had profoundly hurt people.
Right.
Because there were some people who were profoundly wounded by that. And I still regret doing it. I really do. I regret having said, "Okay, I'll do it," after I found out, my first instinct when I found out was return the check.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, it was late in the process. They needed to get the book out. This was the publisher that had rescued me when I had this vicious breakup with TSR, and I was wondering if I had to go back and get a day job again, try and revive my career in finance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Del Rey had come there and said, come in and do Demon Wars, and had pretty much, you know, and then they asked me for a favor, and I agreed. And then when I found out what I had to do, I wanted to back out, but there's no way they could have gotten someone else and gotten the book out on time like they wanted to. And so I agreed to do it, and but I still regret doing it. I don't think we should have done that, not to him. However, there are people there's still people who disagree with that too, because I've gotten tons of mail from people that said when that happened, and then some of the deaths in the later books is when it became fun for me again, because I thought now people can die. So, you know, it works both ways. You're never going to please anyone in this business.
That's true.
Everyone. You're never going to do it. I mean, I don't care who you are. I don't care how hot your books are at the moment. I don't care how iconic a character might become. I don't care how many letters you get from people telling you how positive an effect you've had on their lives. If you're a writer, one thing for certain that you know is that somewhere out there, there's some guy who's more than willing to tell everyone in the world how much you suck. It's just, it's the truth of it is, and a friend told me this that same time when I was going through that dark time with Vector Prime, I went to a New Year's Eve party. It was the millennial party, you know, it was 2000. And my friend who's a judge was there, and he's like, what is the matter with you? You look so glum. Oh, that's right. I heard about Gary, you know, my brother. And I'm like, yeah, that's part of it. And the rest of it was that, you know, I was getting beat up pretty hard, and he laughed, and he goes, I'm a lawyer. You're going to tell me somebody said something bad about you and it hurts your feelings.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, that's not fair. And he goes, Bob, you haven't figured it out, have you? Half the reasons entertainers get paid is because they give miserable people something to bitch about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, it's when you look at things from a different perspective, you escape the bad thoughts that they bring.
And one of the things that I find, too, is especially when you're talking in the realm of like science fiction and fantasy, I mean, those are some of the most diehard fans you'll ever meet. So like when something like that happens to something that they're passionate about, of course, they're going to speak up about it.
No, I mean, if you write a book or do something in your book that people don't like, you are like the guy who strikes out to end the game in the ninth inning. And a certain percentage of the people sitting there are going to tell you what they think of you striking out. And I remember when I was a kid, I didn't go to very many Red Sox games because I don't live that close to Boston. And when I was a kid, the world was a different place. You didn't jump in your car and go places that often. I went to a Red Sox game, and I was really excited because I hadn't gone, and I got to see my hero. My hero was Kyle Yastrzemski.
Mm-hmm.
He had won the Triple Crown in 67. That's when I started watching baseball. I was 8 years old. Now I'm 12 years old, and I'm finally getting to see Kyle Yastrzemski. And he was having a bad year, and he just wasn't the same. He'd been injured a lot. He was getting older. And that day and age, when you were in your 30s, you were old. And he got up to bat, and he popped up or something, and people were booing. And I was sitting there thinking, why would you boo Kyle? If you're a Red Sox fan, why would you boo Kyle Yastrzemski? You know? And they have, that my mind doesn't go there. If I read a book and I don't like it, okay, I didn't like it. If I'm watching a show and I don't like it, I change the channel.
Yeah.
And the last thing I would ever do, and there's a reason I know this now more than ever, is go on and, like, out in public on social media and stuff and attack an author or a book. Because you're really not attacking the book. You're attacking everybody who thinks that book is important to them. So, I guess I just don't understand the mindset. Don't really care to try to understand the mindset at this point in my life.
Understandable. I know that you just had a long day. And, again, thank you for hanging out with us today. We're gonna start wrapping this up so that you can actually enjoy the rest of your evening. I'm sure you're hungry. You got to get out and get some rest. So my last question, going back to Timeless, which, again, is available, make sure to check it out. How many books are you looking at for this new series?
I signed for three.
Okay.
I have some ideas for some other things that we'll try to work out, but there are three in this new series. I'm almost done the second one now. Got a few more chapters to write and like a section and a half to edit. And then it'll be off to the editor. And then I got one more after that. And in the meantime, I finished the second book, The Child of a Mad God, in my Demon Wars world. And I have to write the third book when I'm done this book that I'm working on. So by this time next year, I'll be done everything.
Awesome.
I don't know what's after that. I just don't know.
Well, bringing up Demon Wars again, too, real quick. I got to thank you for that series. I'm a huge fan. I found it from touring around Graphic Audio, which I think has done some pretty impressive
presentations. Oh, Graphic Audio is fantastic.
Aren't they? And
I love Graphic Audio.
If it wasn't for them, I never would have found it, to be honest.
Yep.
And actually, and they're so long, and the trip that I have every day driving back and forth, man, it's such a pleasure to be able to listen to your works.
Well, now Audible has done all the Demon Wars books as well, with Tim Garrod Reynolds reading them.
Oh, cool.
And he's pretty fantastic. It's a straight reading as opposed to Graphic Audio, which is really like a movie without the movie with a black screen. Mm-hmm. Graphic Audio is, right?
Yeah.
But he just did Child of a Mad God, and pretty fantastic stuff he does.
Very cool.
But yeah, I mean, so like I said, one of the joys is, you know, people say, you know, why are you still writing Dritz? Well, because I love the character, people want to read them, and it's not stopping me from doing the other things I think I need to do at all. I mean, you read Child of a Mad God, and you read Timeless, and you probably wonder if they were written by the same person. I mean, the writing is similar, obviously. The fight scenes are similar, obviously, but the themes are very, 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 very different.
Bob, I really want to thank you for your time again. Again, the book is Timeless. Make sure to pick it up. If you're an old fan or a new fan, I guarantee you're going to love it. And how do we find out more about what else is going on with you?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter. I have to do the tweet face stuff. And so it's r_a_Salvatore on Twitter. On Facebook, my professional page is R_A_Salvatore. You'll know when you get over there. And also there is rasalvastore.com, which is my wife's online store where people can buy signed books anytime. And there's also rasalvatore.com, which isn't my site, but it's run by the guy who does some of these e-signings.
Okay.
So I'm out there on social media. Other than that, the place they catch me is conventions. That's what we do these days. We don't do book tours like we used to, but we do conventions.
Well, any chance with New York Comic Con coming up? And I know that Harper has a huge presence there.
I am a guest of honor at New York Comic Con, absolutely.
That's going to be awesome.
I will be there.
Cool. Hopefully we can find a way to meet up and talk a little more.
Sounds good to me.
So, Bob, listen, do us all a favor. Get some rest. You've had a long day.
Actually, what I'm doing right now is I'm walking circles while I'm talking to you, trying to get the click out of my legs from sitting down signing books all day. I'm going to go out and fall in the pool before the thunderstorms hit and eat some dinner.
All right. Well, listen, thank you.
Get up bright and early and get back to signing books.
Nice. Well, thank you again. The best of luck with the book. I can't wait to finally read it all. Again, have a great night.
You too, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate the interest.
Thank you, man. Take care.
You too. Bye now.
And thank you, Ken, for another awesome interview. Timeless from R.A. Salvatore and HarperCollins is in bookstores now. This is Frank from NonPro, and if you liked what you heard today, please subscribe to non-productive.com in your favorite podcatcher app. We have loads of new content from your favorite geek creators, including new Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcasts, interviews with game designers and developers, and comic book and movie reviews with a decidedly fun twist. Subscribe today and get bonus behind-the-scenes content and a whole lot more. Once again, go to non-productive.com/subscribe and join the fan club today.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.